Francis Biddle was the chief judge of the Nuremberg trials, opponent of the Japanese internment camps during World War II, and attorney general under President FDR. Judge Biddle's also the subject of the latest production at George Street Playhouse. Trying is based on playwright Joanna McClellan Glass's real-life experience as Biddle's secretary. The two stars of Trying join us on the WBGO Journal, Philip Goodwin and Carly Zion. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Doug.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Philip, you play Judge Francis Biddle.
That's right.
A real-life judge. How much did you know? I understand you didn't know that much about Judge Biddle going into the research, right?
I didn't know that much about Francis Biddle. I knew a little bit about the Biddle family because it goes way back in New Jersey and Philadelphia primarily. Nicholas Biddle was an ancestor of his, and he's the guy that fought Andrew Jackson about the Bank of America. And his first ancestor came over and purchased 43,000 acres of what is now New Jersey from William Penn. So I knew a little bit about the Biddle family, but not about Francis, who was a remarkable soldier in the Roosevelt effort.
Are you a history buff like me?
I was a history major in college, so this was right up my alley.
Fantastic.
I think I remember writing a paper about the Federal Theater Project when I was in college, which was another New Deal program.
Carly Zion playing Sarah. You play this secretary that comes in really late in mm-hmm. Judge Biddle's life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Real person, the person who wrote the show.
Exactly. Yes, Joanna Glass was Biddle's assistant in the last year of his life, and she wrote this play based on that experience. And it took her, I'm not sure how long in between the first draft that she did and when she actually finished it. I think it began as a one act, and then she wanted more life experience. And I think she also had kids and a dying family member or maybe a dying spouse or something like that. And it took her a while to write the whole two-act play. But from what we were told, her process, her life experience in growing older brought her greater perspective on what Biddle was going through, as opposed to just from the perspective of her experience as a 25-year-old being his assistant. So,
Carly, what makes the dynamic between the two characters special when you hear, okay, there's an older man mm-hmm. who's basically at the end of his run mm-hmm. and a young secretary? How does that work?
I think they ask themselves the same thing. In the play, it's revealed that Biddle tends to prefer older. He's tried a bunch of older women to be his secretary in the interest of gaining some empathy from them. But it doesn't work out for one reason or another. And I think Sarah's youth, it increases the divide between them, but also they have things in common that I think they're able to remind each other of. And that's sort of how they bridge the gap between their generations. And the values of integrity and honor and fighting for what you believe in and not ignoring poverty. And so they have a lot of the same things that are important to them. And I think Sarah helps to remind Judge Biddle about that. And he, in turn, gives her some life lessons that she needs.
I would have had a very narrow, very restricted legal life had it not been for Catherine and her artistic friends. I suppose she told you that I'm difficult?
No, sir, not exactly.
Philip, as Judge Biddle, what did you learn about how he reflected on his career that maybe has touched you during the run of this play so far?
Well, he started out as in one political party, started out as a Republican and changed to be a Democrat. And, well, I guess as quite a lot of people did during that time. And his reasons for it were so moving, actually. He he said that during the Great Depression, he became aware of the plight of the Pennsylvania coal miners. And it just made him think that there was something that he had been missing in his life, that there was a greater force of the people out there that was not being served. And when the New Deal came along with all of the great employment projects, building projects, that he felt like he had finally come in touch with the spirit of America, that that was a building spirit and one that was coming together and behaving as one in a united democratic way. And that's very moving to me, that someone who had experienced a whole different way of growing up in a wealthy, protected way, and then realizes something, he's part of something greater than himself, and becomes a moving part of it in many government functions.
Now, you had never worked with Carly on stage before, right?
No, I've never worked with Carly before. This is a real treat.
Yeah, how does that relationship then develop? I mean, those who don't get the opportunity, they just see two actors on stage and think, well, yeah, it's the normal process. But there's a lot more that goes into it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course. But I think what the best thing about my relationship with Carly, it's very easygoing, and it was from the first day. You know, it's simple and easy. That's the way it should be in our business. So many actors try to make things a little bit too difficult and a little too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just easy going. It's just the two of us.
Yep.
Just us two ducks up there in the pond, and we just go and flap around and see what happens.
Do you see Judge Biddle in him?
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to watch, and just the process of watching you rehearse and you know, you have so much experience and you've worked so many places, and to see your physical work and, you know, also, it's kind of a cliche, but there's so many lines. I mean, it's a long play for two people to do, and there's a lot of dialogue, and it's just been amazing to watch, and I think we were well cast.
I absolutely, categorically will not use the damn thing. I'd as soon throw it in the rubbish.
Sir, you can't. It was a Christmas present, and a very expensive one at that.
I don't know what was in Catherine's head.
Couldn't we just try?
We hear so much, you know, even from the Academy Awards on down, about a woman's role in various productions now. Mm. Do you like how Sarah is cast in this? Obviously, it's her play, so it's, you know, from her perspective. But I know you give your touch to it. How do you look at your role as a woman in this play?
Wow. We're going to go there. You know, when I read the play and when I got the audition material, I actually didn't know if I wanted to go and play a character who gets yelled at for 40 pages. But she does have a pretty fantastic moment where she's able to have her she's able to take a stand and stand up for what she believes in and for who she is, and to assert her value and to refuse to be bullied. And the audience has been really, really responding to that. And I think it's no small part. I think that the movement that's happening right now is contributing to the response that the audience is having. And so I really respect Sarah and how she's able to not take Biddle's moments of pettiness and to see beyond that to who he really is, which is a great man. And she refuses to accept anything less than that.
Is it more Carly, or is it more the playwright that's making that dynamic change for the audience?
I think it has to be a little bit of both. I've been, you know, using the things that I learned in school and physical changes and things like that, because my character goes through quite a physical change as well in the play, without revealing anything. But she, that part, I think I wanted to bring to the character. But the writing is so good that it really is just about showing up and surrendering to letting the character work through me, as opposed to making, you know, I'm the faucet. I'm not the water for this. I'm the vessel for this character, hopefully on the best day.
We're speaking with Carly Zion and Philip Goodwin, the stars of Trying. The George Street Playhouse production runs through April 8th, directed by Jim Jack. How has been working with the director, Philip?
Jim's been terrific. Jim's the he's an assistant to the artistic director there at the Playhouse, and he's just been terrific, tremendously. And, you know, he's the guy you should talk to about the history, because mm-hmm. he's read all the books.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of, he conducts a lot of symposiums and talkbacks with the audience, and he does a terrific job at that as well. But he's very knowledgeable about Biddle and the time that this play is set, the 1960s, and the character. So, yeah, and he's a tremendously nice guy. So it's been terrific, very inclusive as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you were indeed Judge Biddle, how would you have lived your life differently? Maybe at the point where the play is.
If I were Judge Biddle, how would I have lived it differently from him?
Yeah, what would you have done differently? How would you have acted toward not only towards Sarah, but maybe do you see something that you say, well, if that was me, I would have made this choice or whatnot?
Yeah, I think as a contemporary person, I think we'd be much more aware of that dynamic of women's rights and their place in society. He's not a misogynist at all.
Mm-mm.
He is a compassionate man. He had to be to do the things he did. But he is at a place in his life at 81 years old where he's old and ailing and cranky, as he will admit. And he is facing the great beyond, which is a fearful time. And the wonderful thing about this play is that these two characters come along facing similar fears, in that Sarah, Carly's character, is facing an all-new world here in America. She's Canadian. She wants to be a writer, and it's all in front of her, and it's very scary. And what the judge is facing is very scary, too. It's all in front of him. And somehow they begin to come together and make this understanding that allows each other to sort of let go
mm-hmm.
and find the freedom to move forward. And mm-hmm. I find that's very moving. And they're very, very funny characters, actually, too. She's Canadian, so her sense of humor is very dry. And his sense of humor is also very dry. But he's very witty with words and I haven't answered your question.
Well, you kind of have.
But,
yeah, yeah, I think you have. You talked about the dynamic. You would have been much more, aware.
I think a little bit more aware now. You know, this is the great thing about this play. It probably wouldn't have got it's 20 years old. Is it
mm-hmm.
20 years old? And it's had over 200 productions across the world. And yet I'm sure this reaction that we're getting from our audiences is different from the reactions that would have been gotten 5 years ago
mm-hmm.
or 10 years ago,
yeah.
or even at the beginning. So that's a lovely aspect of theater, don't you think? That these plays have that kind of flexibility, that kind of changeability,
mm-hmm.
speak differently over the years.
Yeah.
Now you've done, you know, Broadway, off Broadway. You've done so many shows. Still great reaction when you talk about the audience getting it. Where's the moment that you know in Trying that, yeah, they're with me?
Well, you know, they're actually very vocal. Maybe that's just another function of our modern day. They were willing to show their emotions or express
them. I think that's changing. I think it's becoming more acceptable to be more vocal.
Yeah, so we hear a lot of laughter, and we hear a lot of sniffles and tears, and we also hear some cheers and bravos for the stance that Sarah takes.
For you, Carly, you do all kinds of things, from theater to TV to commercials to film. When I ask this question, usually I get the stage. Is that the best place to be for you as an actress, to be on stage, or no?
I grew up doing theater in Milwaukee, and I've been doing it since I was in fourth grade. So I can't that's like asking me to choose between two really great options. There are definitely things about working in theater that I hope change in the future. I really believe that there should be 6 shows a week as opposed to 8. I believe actors should be paid more. I believe people at the top of their profession in New York City and Los Angeles deserve to be paid a fair wage, and that's being worked out right now in the unions and is improving. And I'm grateful to be able to do this work and to do this play. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. I'm truly, truly grateful. And I think that, you know, there are just financial aspects about working in other mediums that I believe theater artists should, I kind of like Sarah, I believe theater artists, we should know our value and demand to be treated appropriately. And I, you know, it's, there's just no, there's no, it's hard to choose. I mean, theater, it fills my soul, and I love being able to perform for people and seeing their reactions and seeing how moved they are. And then you work for one day on a national commercial and can pay your rent for a year. So I can't really choose between those two things. I'm glad to be able to do both.
Musicians hear you, right?
They face a
similar thing. They might want to just play the music that makes them happy, but
right.
And you know, they get criticized for selling out because they might make a song that will make them millions of dollars when they want to stick to. So there's a lot of different people out there that know exactly what you're talking about. Philip, of all the roles that you've played, and you can't choose Judge Biddle, what has been most satisfying for you in your career?
Well, I've been associated with Shakespeare quite a lot in my career. I don't know exactly how that happened, but still associated with the Shakespeare Theater down in Washington, D.C. And there are several roles with Shakespeare that I just absolutely adore. And one of them was playing King John. And it's great that King John is actually quoted in Trying. I love that part of the play. And Henry VI, the forgotten Henry of Shakespeare's plays, is a character I've always loved. But one of my favorites was a guy named Colonel Sellers in an adaptation of a Mark Twain novel called Gilded Age, who was just a scallywag, but a guy who was ready to go out there and discover America and find the best of what America had to offer. And I performed that a long time with the acting company, which was a touring company started by John Houseman. Remember John Houseman?
Absolutely.
What did he say? We earn money the old-fashioned way. We earn it.
We earn it.
That's right. Yeah. He was my first boss, but that was one of my favorite roles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, too. When choosing roles like that, and since you mentioned William Shakespeare, you can go back in time and he comes into the room right now after doing all those Shakespeare plays. What would you like to ask Bill?
Did you write those plays?
Let's clear up the controversy right now. Who wrote it?
Yeah. I suppose that depends on who actually walks into the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, I would just want to know, where did you travel? What were your travels? Where did you go in the world to learn all of that and know all of that? There's a great chapter in James Shapiro's book about 1600 and 1599. It describes outside one of the theaters, there's this like Smithsonian museum of all these things that people had collected on their travels around the world, you know, shields and artwork and junk and whatever. And that must have been what Shakespeare was like. Just traveled most everywhere he went and collected these things in his mind and just put them all together. So I don't want to know, where have you been that you know about all this stuff?
Philip Goodwin and Carly Zine are the stars of Trying, running through the George Street Playhouse through April 8th. For you, Carly, I would imagine that you love to sing. I know that, right? So if you had the opportunity to sing in this show, what song would fit and where would you put it?
Well, there's a little bit of a song in the show.
Okay, so maybe you should tell me more about
that. It's called Go Down to Q in Lilac Time.
That's
and
right.
We found a little clip of it on the internet, and we sing a little bit of that. I don't know what song I would put into the show. Maybe a there was one. I can't remember. I sometimes make playlists for the characters that I play because I think music really can help me get into the mindset of the character. And I tell my students to do that too when they're working. But this is terrible because I can't remember what I was going to put on her playlist, and I never made it. So the people backstage know that I sing random songs all the time.
And this goes back to your family's kitchen in Milwaukee. Take us back.
Somebody
there.
Has been reading my website. Yes, when I grew up, I used to make up songs in the kitchen and check myself out in the reflection of the oven. And I made up a lot of songs about magazines and things that I saw on TV and things like that. And then it was so great because in school we had a clown class where we were encouraged as part of our homework to make up songs just while we were washing the dishes or, you know, taking out the trash and to make up little songs. And so now I do that all the time. And the assistant stage manager has taken to doing it too. And now my wardrobe person is doing it. So I'm spreading the love through song to all who know me because I just make up a lot of random songs just as part of life.
I want
makes
to hear
life
some
fun.
Of these songs.
Oh, you've heard them, but I will, you know. Just things like I don't feel like making one up right now, but
Philip, your favorite artist?
A theater artist or any artist?
Any artist.
That's a difficult one because Shakespeare would be at the top of my list, I would think. But one of my favorite actors was always Jimmy Stewart. Mm-hmm. And Alex Katz is my favorite visual artist, I would say. Also a resident of the state of Maine, which was where I was born.
Do you remember the first time that you knew you had these skills to become an actor?
Well, I don't know if they were skills of the actor, but I do remember walking into my high school auditorium for that first audition. It was one of those big 70s auditorium that was sort of called a cafetorium or an auditoria or something like that because it shared a space with the cafeteria. But I remember stepping up on the stage and opening my mouth for this audition for a play called Don't Drink the Water and just hearing the reverberation off the back wall and thinking, my goodness, that's interesting. My voice can actually do that. I guess that was just a little touch of feeling some power. I was lucky they cast me, I guess.
Now, sometimes you get to interact with the audiences as you leave the George Street Playhouse. What has been the comment that's meant the most to you so far?
My brother came to the show. He came all the way from Maine to see it the other night. And instead, he called me on the phone later and just wanted to tell me what personal thoughts it made him think about, rather than sort of general overview and say, I remember this time that I did that, or I remember the time that our aunt did that. And the same thing happens when I meet the audience, too. They say, I had a father like that, or I had a family situation that was very similar. You know, it seems to be that kind of play. It's not one that sort of knocks you over the head, but it touches the heart, you know, and makes you think about something that you can directly connect to your own life. And that's sort of wonderful.
Carly, has it changed you in any way, doing this role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, the challenge of doing a two-person show, I'm grateful to have been given this workout. And also to be reminded through Sarah of what's really important in life, which is, I think, appreciating the people who you get to see every day. The people, she works for this man, she learns from this man, she respects this man, and I don't know how much my generation really does respect our elders. There, that's something
not enough.
Not enough, I don't think.
And, right, I'm with you, Doug.
Yeah, I don't think so. And to be reminded to listen to the people who have come before us. You know, Biddle gives her some advice for life that's really valuable, and I don't think people my age really ask for that much. And and to be reminded of you know, Sarah comes in looking to be reminded of her value, but she needs to find it within herself first before she gains that that acceptance from Biddle. And that's a good reminder for anybody, I think, that it has to come from within before it can be reflected without. And I'm, you know, she's a pretty remarkable character, and I'm really, really glad I'm getting to know her through this process.
Actors' lives are very busy, but once this show's run is over, will you keep in contact with Philip? Email? How does that happen? You know, when a two-person show, you get to know each other quite well. Mm-hmm. Does it end at that point, or do you see that you guys will follow each other's careers or at least keep in contact every now and then? How you doing? How does that work?
I keep in touch with a lot of the people I've worked with, and I hope to keep in touch with you, Philip.
Well, I'm going to be following your career very closely.
I want to see you do Shakespeare. I've got to come see you, your next Shakespeare endeavor.
Okay. I'll send you the information.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a fool not to keep in touch with Philip.
I'm sure we'll. And maybe we'll even do more plays.
Yeah.
We'll do
nice.
This one again sometime.
Yeah.
Sounds great. And now you recently were a 54 Below.
Yes.
Right? I didn't know that.
Singing your heart out.
Oh, yes. And remembering 99% of the lyrics. my friend Matthew, my dear friend Matthew McCollum, everyone look him up. He is a brilliant actor. And we were in school at undergrad and grad school together. But he wrote a bunch of songs that were performed at 54 Below, and I was lucky to be a part of that. And he's going to be huge. I mean, this guy is so brilliant. So I got to perform one of his songs at 54 Below with other amazing people, and and Lin-Manuel Miranda was there, and it was so cool. And it was, yeah, that was a really, really fun night. And you can watch it on YouTube.
Absolutely. And I had the chance to do that.
Oh.
And it was wonderful.
Thank you.
And everybody knows Lin-Manuel Miranda, obviously the creator of Hamilton. And he's already doing so many other works now, you know, just a brilliant man.
Yeah.
Whether it be music for you know, animated films. And so it's exciting. But have you looked up any more, Carly, about this time period because of this show?
Yeah, I you know, the process of getting cast and then going into rehearsal, my first priority was getting the script memorized. We did not have that much time. We had 3 weeks or something like that, maybe less before we started rehearsal. So that was my first priority. And then if you come see the show, you'll see there's a lot of business in the show. What's called business is, which means like dealing with the props and moving things around and shifting the scenery. And so that had to be built in. And Jim did a great job of kind of first things first, second things second, third things third. And in between rehearsals on New Jersey Transit, as we were commuting, I did get a chance to do some research, and we got to do a little bit of research the first week. We watched some documentaries about the 60s. We read some writing about the Nuremberg trials and some poetry. And that's the part of working on characters that I really love, which sometimes when I'm auditioning gets lost a little bit, because I don't know if that part is I can get lost in that part and not memorize the lines. So I've learned that I need to memorize the lines first. But yeah, it was a fascinating time. And it was a really heated time politically when leaders of the country were being assassinated right and left. And and there was a huge anti-war movement that was blooming. And I think that there are similarities to what's happening now with the unrest in our country and the dissatisfaction with a lot of what the government is doing and the grassroots movements that are rising around gun control and around women's rights and things like that. And so it was easy to make that connection between these two time periods. And I think Sarah is inspired by what's going on. As a Canadian coming to America, I think she's, I mean, I don't know if any Canadians would come to America at this point, but she's inspired by that. And I think it informs some of her decisions in the play.
Philip, do we need to know the background of Judge Biddle in order to really understand this play, or do you bring it out enough in the show?
No, I don't think you need to know that much about him, but it's nice to spread the word about guys like this. You know, you wouldn't consider him to be a major player. Most people don't know about him, but he was. Carly just mentioned the Nuremberg trials, and he was the chief American judge of the Nuremberg trials, and one of those that wanted to make sure that this happened in an orderly way, that it was truly just, and it wasn't some sort of railroad action against these, they were war criminals, but they deserved their time in court, and he made sure that they did, and plenty of time. It took a long time to sit there and listen to all of their stories and try them, but he wanted to make sure that this happened in the right way. And that's the kind of guys that you have to remember from history, the ones that wanted to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was important. But to answer to your question, no, I think it's great to come to this play and learn a little bit about somebody that you didn't know. As much as Hamilton is interesting, we all know a little bit about Alexander Hamilton. It's just as good to go to learn somebody in history that you didn't know about.
Apparently he's mentioned in a lyric of Annie. They say something about FDR's cabinet and name all the people, and Biddle's in there.
I didn't know that.
Biddle's a good
I didn't
good
know that either,
name.
But I have one friend who was like, yes, I know who Biddle is because of that song in Annie.
Philip, you have that wonderful deep voice. So we'll wrap this up by knowing that Carly loves to sing. What duet do you want to do with her?
What duet?
What duet should we do together?
Would you like to sing with Carly? Just for fun. Just for fun. As the show is over and you're at a party somewhere and they say, let's you two get together. What duet do you want to sing with her?
I don't know.
We sing a duet in the show.
We do. Go down to Q.
In lilac time. Go down to Q. In lilac time. It isn't far from London.
All good Canadians know that.
All good Canadians worth their salt.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Trying. George Street Playhouse through April 8th. We're glad to have the stars here on the WBGO Journal, Carly Zion and Philip Goodwin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug.